Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
I am live. It's 11:05. Time to do another deep dive. See how much fun it is when you keep Bray Wyatt as the answer, and when you see the Easter eggs, when you put things together, it just makes it that much more fun. What's up, everyone? It is Saturday, October 1st. September is out of here. October is here. And I want to thank you all for joining me today. Feeling a lot better. I ran out of COVID tests, so I don't know if I'm finally negative or not, but I'm going to go pick some up after we do the show this morning. But I feel like I'm about 90%, which is good. But enough of that. We got to talk about little pigs. Little pigs. You know, it's funny. What does it even say? What the first lines from the three little pigs? Let me in. Let me in. Yesterday on SmackDown, we had one teaser video. We had a fan sign that was planted by WWE. And oh, did that lead to so many other things and Easter eggs. So I'm going to give you a deep dive into that. I'm not going to lie to you. I was up probably until about 5:30 this morning, unable to sleep. So I said, let's just put everything together. We decoded the Morse code. We called the voicemail. We reversed the numbers. I'm going to put it all together for you in a couple of moments. We're also going to talk about the very interesting, I don't know if I would call it controversial, but the very interesting and revealing interview that Seth Rollins did with Ariel Helwani. You know, some of the things I think really surprised a lot of people out there. So we will, you know, touch on that a little bit. Unfortunately, as you saw me opening up the show, Antonio Inoki passed away at the age of 79 years old. If anybody remembers, I thought we did it this year. I didn't realize that it was last year. If you go check out the March 8th, 2021 episode that we did a breakfast soup, I brought up on that episode to really start keeping Antonio Inoki in your prayers. Remember that really awkward hospital video where it's like a nurse was standing on his bed and trying to like give him almost look like chest compressions? Antonio Inoki unfortunately succumbed to what he was battling. It was called cardiac amyloidosis. From what I remember talking about it last year, it is a rare bone marrow disease. And what happens is it creates a protein in your body called amyloid, I believe it is. And that protein causes various organs not to work all that well. It attacks your cardiovascular system. It attacks your kidneys. It attacks a lot of your organs. He was battling that for a good 20 months. So he fought the good fight. Not many people even last that long dealing with cardiac amyloidosis. But unfortunately, he succumbed to it yesterday. And obviously, our thoughts and prayers. We just, what was it, a week ago? We were talking about the greatest Japanese wrestlers to ever perform in the United States. And who was at the top of the list for yours truly? Antonio Inoki. Now, you know, everybody and their mother are going to post tributes. I will give a little bit more of a tribute on Monday's show. You know, we'll talk a little bit about what he has done. But for me, in a more lighthearted moment, you know, I will always appreciate when he did that New Year's Eve event. It was called Inoki Bombaye. He did it for a couple of years, I think from 2000 to maybe 2003. And if you see me typing, I actually downloaded part of the video. But, you know, there was a point during this New Year's Eve pro wrestling event where not only fans, but wrestlers lined up. And you're talking, I didn't count it, but it might have been 100 people. They all lined up just to get slapped by Antonio Inoki in the face. And I think I have it here, a little clip of it. But, you know, there is a cool story behind it. I mean, I don't have all the details in front of me. It's a little incomplete. But if I remember correctly, back when he was in eighth grade, we'll keep the volume off. But back when he was in eighth grade, I think somebody bullied him. I mean, I'm giving you the quick synopsis of it. And he ended up slapping the person in the face. I don't know if it was once or twice. And it instilled, a lot of people respected Antonio Inoki afterwards. And it became like a pop culture thing. And wrestlers would actually ask Antonio Inoki to slap him in the face, almost for like good luck, for strength. And, it's funny about this video. There are a lot of wrestlers that are online waiting to be slapped. And it kind of amazes me to see these scholars who claim to be real experts in Japanese wrestling. And no, I'm not talking about Dave Meltzer. You know, I know everybody immediately goes to him, but, you know, they have no idea that some of these people are actually pretty legendary pro wrestlers. But this goes on and on and on. I mean, it just, is that Great Sasuke? I think that's Great Sasuke. It just goes on and on and on. Yeah, it's pretty wild. But look, 79 years old, you know, very, very good age. I hope to live to be 59, you know. So, 79 years old, you know, people are still, you know, devastated. I mean, because he is such an icon. And you look at what he has done for pro wrestling. I mean, my God. The creation of New Japan, do you need to go any further? The G1 climax, and you could just, so rest in peace, Antonio Inoki. Much love. So, all right, I know you're all here, mostly about the Bray Wyatt latest. We'll put it all together. Then we'll talk a little bit about Seth Rollins, some unnecessary heat that is being placed on Saraya, because AEW wants to tease and milk, you know, if she can return to the ring. We'll talk about that in a little bit. A few other tidbits. SmackDown last night. Max Dupri is pretty much done, and LA Knight is about to make his return. Shotzi Blackheart being allowed to come out with the tank again. And when you think of tanks, you think of war. Yeah, Shotzi will be in the War Games match at Survivor Series. But anyway, let's talk about Bray Wyatt. Let's talk about what went down yesterday. I am going to put this together as simply as I possibly could. We even have my phone ready to call this number, because this phone number actually has to do with everything that went down. All right, last night on SmackDown, we got the latest QR code. Unfortunately for those people that still refuse to accept that WWE is trolling some people with leaking out incorrect early information, we didn't get a tic-tac-toe, as some people claimed was going to happen Friday. Instead, we got the three little pigs. Little pigs, little pigs. Let me in. Now, I have the video saved in my computer, but instead, I am going to post this This is straight from WWE's website. Now, if you want to go to WWE's website for yourself and see the link, it is WWE.com/1911. Very simple. Now, the reason why I prefer to show you the video from WWE's website directly, and look, if you're tuning in from a cell phone, forget about it. You're not going to be able to see it. You'll see my mouse, all right? You know what? Let me show you the video first, and I'll show you why my mouse is on the screen. This was the video that was played yesterday. Pay very close attention on what you see. All right, Morse code. Now, I was able to put this up pretty early yesterday, and I told all of you on social media, I said, look, if there's something behind that Morse code, I will crack it, and I will show it to all of you out there. And yes, there actually was something behind that Morse code. Now, I'm going to jump one step ahead for a moment, and then we'll go back to the Morse code, all right? You can't see it here. I mean, unless you're on like a regular size computer screen, but if you see my mouse making circles here, follow my mouse all the way to this corner. You see over here? You see that little dot? Believe it or not, do you see that my cross went over it? If you scroll your mouse over that dot, which is actually a white rabbit, it leads you to a symbol, to a phrase. And the phrase is spelled T as in Thomas, S as in Sam, _, S as in Sam, 10, E as in Edward, number 6. Just go on WWE's website and just scroll your mouse over that little white rabbit. And the cross will pop up. And it'll read you TS_S10E6. When you Google that phrase, what comes up is IMDb, all right? The Internet Movie Database. I don't know if that's what it stands for. But that is actually Season 10, Episode 6 of The Simpsons. The episode was called In the Wind. And during that episode of The Simpsons, they played White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. Okay. All right. You know, we got another White Rabbit Jefferson Airplane reference. Okay. Maybe not necessarily Bray Wyatt. But you have the Three Little Pigs. And unfortunately, this version of the Three Little Pigs, the Big Bad Wolf was able to cook them, turn them into bacon and whatever you want. But there's more. There's more. When you right-click, and I'm not going to start right-clicking stuff here. When you right-click here, you actually, for the file name for the rabbit, a phone number pops up. And the phone number is 855-489-5099. I guess we could get out of this for a moment. All right. We're back. So, the phone number that pops up is this. That is the phone number that pops up. Now, I have my Bluetooth connected to this phone. I want you to listen closely to the voicemail that comes up. We'll go back to the Morse code. Listen!
Well, I need to sit in the air with me now. Well, you must. I need a flat. I mean, like that. Well,
now, contrary to rumors, that is not Andre the Giant talking French. Au revoir. All right. I have the audio in my system as well. Here is a little bit of a louder version of what you heard. And if you can't make it out, don't worry about it. because I fixed it for you. But here's the original. When you call that phone number, this is what you hear.
Well, son of Houston here with me. Well, Venus is Houston here with me. Hey, man. How you Nick? How far?
It does sound like Andre the Giant. Okay. Obviously, whatever that is being played backwards. So what I did was I took the file, put it in my audio program, and I just hit reverse. And what you get is this.
Bravo. Echo. Lima. Alpha. India. Romeo. I am the way into the city of woe. I am the way into eternal sorrow.
All right. You still can't make it out. What he says is Bravo, Echo, Lima, Alpha, India, Romeo. Anyone out there that says Romero, obviously they're just cut and pasting from people that didn't get it right. Romeo. Now, if you spell the letters, take each one of those words, take the first letter of each one of those words, okay? Bravo, B, Echo, E, Lima, L, Alpha, A, India, I, R, Romeo. That spells Belair. Bianca Belair have something to do with this? No, no. What I think that is think of old school TV, The Fresh Prince of Belair. Where did he originate from? Philadelphia. Where is Extreme Rules taking place? Philadelphia. All of these cutie news sites out there that are saying our sources are telling us that Bray Wyatt will be revealed at Extreme Rules. You know what they're basing that on? If you look at the pay-per-view premium live event posters, the top left-hand corner, you will see fireflies in the background. And because of this clip, Belair, Philly, oh, our sources tell, your sources didn't tell you dick. Your sources told you this after this clip came out yesterday. Why don't you just say he could possibly debut at Extreme Rules based on the latest teasers? That is the truth, our sources tell us. Your sources tell you balls. All right, so we're not done. We're not done. What's that rap song? We're not done. I am the way into the city of woe. I am the way into eternal sorrow. Now let's go back to the Morse code. And let's do it straight from the website. This is a website where you can actually upload Morse code audio and they will translate it for you. So now, if you remember the video, this was the Morse code that was played towards the end. Now, that doesn't really make sense for any of us out there. But what I will do now is I will click upload. I will go into my file program and I will grab the Morse code. Where is the Morse code? Is this it? Yeah. I think this is the Morse code right here. All right. So the Morse code is in the system. Now we click play and it will tell us what that Morse code meant. Azel Reborn, is that the right way to say it? I think that's the way to say it. So that's what it spells out. Now, what does that have to do with Bray Wyatt? This is credited to Mikey, who sent me this. If you remember the Florida Championship Wrestling promo that I played for you last week that we used to talk about on the history show. Towards the end of it, he says, time is on my side. Now, that was also referenced in a movie called Fallen by Denzel Washington. And it talked about people being possessed by the demon Azazel. And, you know, there's a Jewish reference to it as well and everything. But, you know, that's where that is leading to. So that is where they got that from. Now, I know some of you out there are loving this right now. This is why it's fun. You know, forget the people that are trying to tease you that it could be someone else. They're just trying to get you to keep clicking on their shit. Just keep in the back of your mind it's Bray Wyatt, and it makes it so much more fun. Because if you are a fan, a big fan of Bray Wyatt, you know a lot of his history. He's not 60 years old where we have to go back to the 90s to, like, remember his shit. You know, he basically, his career has developed right in front of our very eyes. You know, and with all of his content being featured on the WWE Network over the years, you know, it's more fun because, like, oh, I remember this. All right, let's go one step further. Yesterday on SmackDown, a fan had a sign held up in the air right behind Corey Graves and Michael Cole, and that sign says, revel in what you are. If anybody out there doesn't remember, that actually was something that Bray Wyatt wrote when a print of The Fiend was made back in October of 2019. Revel in what you are. So those match up as well. We go a little bit further, and we have one more reference here. If you pay attention to some of the quotes and some of the Easter eggs yesterday, it references lines like, abandon all hope, you who enter here. And if you remember that quote that was written from Dante Alighieri, an episode of the Firefly Funhouse had this sign on the wall, abandon all hope, ye who exit here. Lev Twix, always trying to poo-poo on everything, says this is not rocket science. No, it's not rocket science. That's why it was so easy early on to figure out it was Bray Wyatt. But I got to be honest with you. It's pretty fucking fun to see WWE and Bray Wyatt putting all this effort into, you know, playing teasers, games, strategy. You know, I brought this up the other day. And the more people I talk to, they say, yeah. You know, remember Zoe Stark's return in NXT? No disrespect intended, but it was very underwhelming. But if you recall, they did a QR code, they did a word scramble, and that actually was done as a test to see how the IWC would react to QR codes and chasing, you know. Because look, a lot of returns in the past, you know, they would just throw a vignette out there, and you would try to guess who it is. Remember when Athena, Ember Moon, made her return to NXT? Remember the bike and the scrambled voice? We thought it was Bo Dallas making his return. But there was no teasers that really made you look to say, oh, that's Ember Moon. That's Ember Moon. What this is doing here is, if you want to know the answers, you could work for it. I mean, I just went to Disney a couple of weeks ago for my honeymoon. And one of the games that everybody that I saw doing was, they have this strategy game where you go, you have to find certain things in the park, and then you scan your watch, and then it tells you to go here, and you scan your watch, and it tells you to go there. It's clues. These are all clues. We know who it is, but it's fun to see something and say, huh, I wonder if that has to do with Bray Wyatt's return. And even this, like I said, you go back to this. I mean, I don't know if I could really zoom in over here, but, you know, maybe I can. I don't know if I can. Nah, this might end up being an epic fail. I'm trying to get... Oh, actually, you know what? Maybe I can. If I do it like this. Let me see. All right, we might be able to. All right, look. I zoomed in, and look at the fucking rabbit in the lower right-hand corner. You still can't even figure out who it is. You still can't even figure it out. But this is fun to be able to uncover this stuff. And look, it takes some work. It's a scavenger hunt. Wrath, perfect. This is a scavenger hunt to keep people entertained to figure out who this is. So that is your latest deep dive into what is going to lead to be Bray Wyatt's return. I am excited. Again, give Bray Wyatt, Wyndham, credit for a lot of this as well. You know, he is partly responsible for some of these clues as well. He hasn't sat at home all this time and basically, you know, not thought about things. Once the return was put into gear, this is where all this starts coming into play. Believe me, if this White Rabbit stuff was planned a lot longer ago, they would have some of these shirts ready to be released. That Hangman shirt is not going to be released for fans until the end of October. Just shows you how, you know, abrupt that one ended up being. But, yeah, that is your latest deep dive for Bray Wyatt, the Three Little Pigs, the Big Bad Wolf, and the White Rabbit. So will he be revealed at Extreme Rules? Like I said to you, I think that depends if he is going to appear in Saudi Arabia. I know some people are like, oh, I'd rather him appear, what, in the United States? Let him come back. You know what I mean? I think it really comes down to if he's going to appear in Saudi Arabia. If he's not, or maybe they don't feel that it's that, you know, they still have many weeks left, I think at Extreme Rules, that just may lead to the next stage, which is those really hardcore deep vignettes. And I always reference Edge recently because look at those vignettes when they went and showed you all the history of Edge's feuds. You know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot more work than you realize. So they're going to go that deep when it comes to Bray Wyatt. Right now, someone said, it's a scavenger hunt. Once the scavenger hunt is over, and then it's now just sitting back and watching these beautifully produced vignettes, that's when you're at the next stage. And I think that's going to go down before anything else. So, all right, there you go. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, it was not easy to put this all together in about 12 hours time. Especially that, you know, just when you thought you were done, you're like coding stuff, then somebody says, oh, did you see this? Did you hear about this? Did you pull this up? Did you... So anyway, all right, let's talk briefly about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins did an interview with Ariel Helwani. It's getting an interesting reaction. Some people are actually kind of pissed off at Seth Rollins. I think the reason mainly is because of the leukemia reference. For those that don't know, you know, Seth Rollins, when he did the interview with Ariel Helwani, I'm pretty sure the entire interview is now up. He's basically said that he never has felt that he is the guy in WWE. He calls it the Roman era, that as long as the Roman era is here, that he will always be second fiddle. He brings up Edge to John Cena. He brings up, you know, someone to Hogan. Like, he wants to be that guy. And I have a small clip for you all to hear right now. And I think this clip is probably the one that might have angered people more than anything else. Check it out.
Even when I had won the title at WrestleMania, cashed in, great moment, I still felt like I was second fiddle to Roman. I still felt like he was the guy just gonna, you're the placeholder until he's totally ready and we're totally ready to put the ball in his hands. But for now, you're a step ahead, so we're gonna give you this, and then, you know, we'll move on to what we really want to be. But it's just gonna take a few months. Mm. So no, I've never ever felt like I've in my time in WWE that the company was like, yep, he's our guy, put his face on everything.
Do you feel like you're close to that point, close to getting to that point?
I don't know, man. I wonder often if because I live in the Roman era that's just never going to happen. You know, the only time I was even considered, I think, for the main event of WrestleMania, Roman when he got leukemia and he was out from August till January or whatever February it was, and I was kind of second. Behind in the little babyface column there, and so, you know, I got slotted in, and so I feel like it's one of those things. I'm like the best I can hope for is to be the Edge to his Cena, or like the Savage to his Hogan. You know, and sometimes I just feel like that's just the way the cookie crumbles. You know, doesn't mean I'm not. I don't think that I'm better than he is, or that I can perform, or that I can draw at that level. I certainly think all those things, but it's not my sandbox. I don't make those decisions.
I'll put a link in the description area when I go like this. You could watch the full interview as well. Look, he goes on and he talks about, you know, other things. He's very, very grateful. I mean, you know, WWE is responsible for what he has, meeting his wife, having his kid. He is always thankful for Vince McMahon. You know, he wants to work with Bray Wyatt again, but it was very, very complicated to work with the Supernatural character. And he even references Undertaker. He says, if you look at some of Undertaker's greatest matches, it's without the Supernatural shit. Another thing that Seth Rollins said that might, you know, have pissed off people, I think, you know, undeservingly, because Seth Rollins does get into it a little bit more. You know, when Cody Rhodes returned, you know, we talked about how Cody defeated him three times in a row. And you might remember that, you know, I said that it doesn't feel like Seth Rollins has lost any momentum. Like, Seth Rollins has done so much in WWE that three losses in a row, you know, he could recover from that with no problem. The problem is, yeah, you can recover, but you only recover to where you were before, not to the next level. He said it was demoralizing to think that he would have to catapult someone else into a spot that he wanted after doing it so many times previously. So there was no anger to Cody Rhodes. There was no jealousy towards Cody Rhodes. But he felt, you know, like, okay, you know, I've been busting my ass. You know, here's my time. And then Cody Rhodes signs, and we want you to help Cody Rhodes leapfrog yourself, pretty much. You know, he understood why and doesn't have any issues with Cody Rhodes. But, you know, all of this combined, very, very frustrated. You know, a little tidbit also that I wanted to share. You might remember this. Do you remember some point early this year, we were all complaining about the amount of times that the Raw announced commentators were saying freaking on the show? You remember Jimmy Smith? He said Seth freaking Rollins like 15 times on a Raw episode. Like, you know, just call him Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins actually complained to Vince McMahon and said, look, it doesn't sound right. Like, if you want to say it to introduce me, that's fine. But you have the commentator saying it over and over and over and over again, and it just sounds almost ridiculous. And Vince agreed to tone it back a little bit amongst the commentators. But even Seth Rollins wanted to take the freaking reference out of his name, the pronoun out of his name. Now, in my honest opinion, you know, I know some people feel like, hey, Seth, look at how much money you've made. Look at how far you've gone in wrestling. Look at what you have. You know, you should be grateful. And sure, Roman Reigns is technically above everyone in WWE. And some people feel like, you know, Seth, you should shut up and be thankful and do your job, and that's it. You know, when you feel that you are the best at what you do and you're not acknowledged. Remember that tweet? Remember that tweet from Triple H to Seth Rollins not too long ago when they had no match for Seth Rollins for a recent premium live event? And I think it was supposed to be against Riddle, and it was canceled due to Riddle's injury. And you know, he said to the fans, Seth Rollins says, I hear you. And Triple H wrote back and said, I hear you too. So now the question is, does Triple H work to have Seth Rollins maybe not be on the level as Roman Reigns, but once he gets there, he stays there? Because, look, you could go down the list from Bobby Lashley to Cody Rhodes to who AJ Styles to whoever you want who legitimately can carry the heavyweight championship. But WWE has chosen Roman Reigns to be the next guy. You know, this goes back to what I said a long time ago, and I know some of you haters out there still get angry when you think I rub it in. It's not intended that way, but when Roman Reigns first came on the scene, there was an infamous conversation I had with my former co-host, and I said, they're going to give him the John Cena push. Just look at him. You know, they want him to be that next clean-cut main event, the guy, the focal point, the epicenter of what WWE was. You know, you had Hogan, you have Cena. You know, not too many people get that position. Bruno, if you want to go further back. Others came close, but not to that ultimate, almost Mount Rushmore territory. And Roman Reigns is that guy. I don't think Seth Rollins will ever be looked at on the level of Roman Reigns. To be honest with you, I've always been a supporter of Seth Rollins. Just tune into my shows year after year. You know, I've always been a supporter and always been a fan of his work. There's a lot of you out there growing up that preferred Savage over Hogan. You know, but there's no denying Hogan was the man, the guy. But that doesn't mean that you didn't dig Savage more. Or maybe you paid to see Savage over Hogan. In the company's eyes, Roman will always be Hogan. And Seth Rollins would always be Savage. But you know what? When we look back in the annals of history, if Seth Rollins is to Roman what Savage was to Hogan, that's pretty good company to be in. You know, it doesn't make the distance that far in between. There's some of you out there that would rather pay to see Edge back in the day over John Cena. You know, could Seth Rollins be that focal point? Maybe when Roman Reigns, if he retires. You know, Roman Reigns doing those speeches that he's going to be stepping back a little bit and working part-time. You know, Seth Rollins, there's right now only one speed, and that's full steam ahead. So if Roman Reigns does permanently, you know, step back further on almost like a part-time basis, you know what? You know, maybe that's the opportunity where Seth is not the guy, but the next guy. Someone is going to be the next guy after Roman. When Roman has to, remember when Cena started stepping back, that's when Roman, they started pushing him. You know, they did it inorganically, and that's why it failed, you know, quite a bit in the first bunch of years. But when Cena started pulling back, that's when Roman was being prepared. And if, when Roman starts pulling back even a little bit more, that might be the opportunity for Seth to get in there. So it's a really good interview. I mean, you know, you look back at 2022, man. I think 2022 has been the greatest year of interviews with WWE staff, from Vince McMahon to just go down the list. I mean, there's been some epic interviews this year involving WWE. I don't recall any other year like this. I mean, the closest that I could come to it, and it's such a stretch, is TSN Off the Record back in the 90s and the 2000s when Michael Landsberg used to interview a lot of WWE guys. And, you know, would get them to, you know, talk, kind of break the fourth wall, but not like this. Not like this. I don't recall ever a year being like this as far as that candid, that revealing, and having the balls to say things like this. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I don't know if Seth Rollins cuts that interview. I don't know if some people would have the balls to go on social media and complain about their current position. I think a lot of people would just have to stick their tail between their legs and say, look, you know, I at least I have my position. At least I'm making money. At least I have an opportunity. Because, you know, there's not as much opportunity out there than you think. You know, so very, very good. Very, very good interview. Go check it out. All right. Now, very quickly, SmackDown results from yesterday. Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa over Ricochet and Madcap Moss. Drew McIntyre originally beat Austin Theory by DQ. Alpha Academy showed up. And then that led to some surprise appearances from Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens. That would set up a six-man tag to main event SmackDown later on in the night. Hit Row over Los Lotharios. Ronda Rousey over Natalya. Imperium had a confrontation with Sheamus. Butch and Ridge Holland were legitimately stuck in Florida. That's why they could not appear, as Io Sky and Dakota Kai. Bayley beat Shotzi. And in the main event, Drew McIntyre, Johnny Gargano, and Kevin Owens over Austin Theory and Alpha Academy. Couple of things to come out of this. You know, Kevin Owens having a little confrontation with Sami Zayn in the back. Sami Zayn had a confrontation with Jey Uso earlier on in the show, and he says, I see right through you. If you put our family in jeopardy, you know, you're done. I think that's the seed planted for War Games. And, you know, Sami Zayn kind of looking dejected, not allowed in the locker room with them. And Kevin Owens walks by and he looks at Sami Zayn's honorary Uso shirt and he's like, you need to change your shirt. You know, just little things like that, planting the seeds. And by the way, shout out to Zylot Themes for this shirt and all those cool gifts that you sent me. I did an unboxing yesterday on the latest mailbag. So if you want to go check it out, the link will magically pop up later on. You know, we had a really good confrontation yesterday with Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. Liv Morgan obviously is not there yet. The best way I could describe this is, you know, I used to have debates when I used to do shows with Mish. And, you know, I felt that, you know, in 2022, I think Liv Morgan does go to the next level and become women's champion. And she has done a great job. There's been some hiccups. She's done a great job. The match with Lacey Evans last week was kind of shungada. It felt like I was watching in slow motion. But, you know, when someone first gets elevated to the next level, unless they were a big star in NXT, unless they were a big star for a different promotion, when someone organically goes to the next level, you know, early on, you know, there's that uneasy period where you feel like, you know, they haven't cemented their spot as the next level. You look at Aaliyah, Raquel Rodriguez. Raquel Rodriguez, you know, big star in NXT leading up to someone's trolling in the chat. I don't see anybody trolling in the chat. Anyway, Raquel Rodriguez, you know, legit star in NXT. So when she came to the main roster, her getting some high-profile matches, expected. Aaliyah, though, not expected. She wins the women's tag title, and a lot of people don't buy into it because we haven't seen enough yet with Aaliyah where you feel, okay, she's gone to the next level. You know, there's been a lot of women over the years that they get to the next level, and then you get to a point where you say, okay, that person belongs. Bianca Belair belongs. You could go down the list with a lot of other women. They belong. Liv Morgan is close to being to that point. Once you feel subconsciously that she belongs in the title picture, it's very, very difficult to move away from there. Like, at any point, at any time, somebody could win a championship. Even when somebody is off their game a little bit. Once you get to that next level and you feel like, hey, it just feels right, that's when you know you've made it. Liv Morgan is not at that point yet where the majority of the WWE Universe, it just feels right that she's champion. But she is doing a pretty good job so far. And the brawl that she had with Ronda Rousey yesterday, remember, this is Ronda Rousey. You know, if you couldn't get the fans to feel that you are going toe-to-toe with Ronda Rousey, that's why you got to do Extreme Rules. It's the only way that you can have Liv that perception. You know, if I'm walking down a dark alley and there's some MMA guy, you know, or some, you know, submission specialist or judo guy, or whatever you want, a boxer, you know, and I have a confrontation, you know, there's a good chance I'm going to get my fucking ass kicked. If I got a baseball bat in my hand, oh, the odds are so much different now. You know, you see where, that's why it had to be Extreme Rules with Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. I just hope we don't get any stupid no contest because Charlotte Flair shows up and just destroys both of them. I know we're in the Triple H era now, but I'm telling you, sooner or later, we are going to get shit like that to happen. Not everything can be cake and ice cream at the end of the day. Sometimes the dessert is not going to feel as good as what it should be. This is all I get. That's all I get. So we'll see what happens. Drew McIntyre, you know, setting up even further his match with Karrion Kross for Extreme Rules. Karrion Kross cutting a spectacular promo yesterday. Max Dupri, done with Maximum Male Models. LA Knight is this close to returning. And he probably will have a match with Massey, Mounsoir, maybe possibly both. But, you know, Mace and Mounsoir, you know, doing a little bit too much modeling. Maxine loves it. And Max Dupri is like, what are you guys doing? You should be out there going for titles. And instead, they're like this all night long. I did get a kick out of Mansoor when it looked like his hand started like, you know, my hand is hurting. Like, I don't know how much longer I could hold it up. But when he decked, when Max Dupri decked him, he's done. Taking the M belt off, he says, I don't think I was ever cut out for this. Yeah. It's a little seed. Max Dupri is done. LA Knight will be returning. I think people will love it. People will love it. On the main roster, you know, I mean, it's happening. It's not even a question. And we had some other builds as well. Not a bad episode of SmackDown yesterday. Rampage, we got to talk about Andrade for a moment. First off, Lee Moriarty over Fuego del Sol. Jamie Hayter, which AEW is going to have to do something about soon because the fans are really digging Jamie Hayter. They are organically almost forcing AEW's hand to soon enough choose her. You know, Nyla Rose taking on Jade Cargill. Okay, interesting. Interesting, no question. But sooner or later, you're going to have to address the Jamie Hayter situation. Fans are going to push it. Because, look, fans are frustrated. You know, you look at Ruby Soho, you look at Athena, you look at others. I mean, if you really analyze their AEW runs, not anywhere near what people expected. Look at Saraya. Saraya is now there 2 weeks, and they still have not answered the question, will Saraya return to the ring? Now, we've talked about that already. I believe Saraya is returning to the ring. I don't think there's any question. I think she's been cleared by some doctors that she can return. It might be a very slow burn because they want to ease her back in, but I am almost 100%, in fact, I am 100% convinced Saraya is going to return to the ring. You're not going to sign her to a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year deal, and then she ends up being some type of authority figure. I don't believe that at all. So Saraya, she wants to be back in that ring, and I believe it's happening, but AEW needs to spell it out. And they're having some issues. Before I get into what transpired in the last 24 hours with Saraya, Roosh over John Silver. We had a confrontation with Hook and Ryan Nemeth, and something going down with Andrade. They have this weird fetish with 10. Now, next week on Rampage, and I believe it's going to be live. Yes, it is going to be live. 10 is going to take on Andrade. And if 10 loses, he has to lose the mask. Now, we've seen him before without a mask. It's not a big fucking deal. But if Andrade loses, he leaves AEW. All right. Now, think about all of the controversy lately about contracts and AEW, Malachi Black stuff, Buddy Matthews stuff, rumors that, you know, WWE has sent feelers to AEW stars. I don't know if Andrade is trolling AEW or trolling the fans or maybe trolling both. On social media, he has now started a campaign, a hashtag, Free El Idolo. Free El Idolo. And it's a picture of him with a cup of coffee, I think overlooking, I don't know if that's Mexico. But, you know, in the wake of all of the controversy about contracts in AEW, to start a campaign to free El Idolo, this feels like a troll job. I think it might be trolling the fans. I do not believe for 1 minute that Andrade is going to be losing this match, especially with all of the talk that has come out that Tony Khan is not letting anyone out of their contracts early. I think this is just a tease to basically remove the mask for Dark Order 10, do a little bit of a transition. I think maybe even move away from the Dark Order entirely. You know, I know some people think Dark Order for life, and yes, you know, I get it amongst some of the people in that group. I don't think Dark Order is for life in AEW. I think slowly you see members being removed. Look at Anna Jay. Think about that. We talked about it week one. They never did a backstage segment where the Dark Order confronted Anna Jay. Why are you leaving us? We're family. You know, why are you leaving us? They never did it. Maybe they did like 2-3 months later, and I'm not aware of it. But the Dark Order is just not something I think in the future of AEW. So I don't think for 1 minute that Andrade is losing this match. But let's get back to Saraya for a minute. Saraya tweeted and deleted yesterday. You remember my Wednesday night Dynamite recap? Remember when I talked about her joke that she said, now I have a boss that listens to me? Go back to what I said Wednesday night. To me, it was just a lighthearted joke. You know, people do make jokes of their old employers. It's nothing malicious. It's nothing heinous. But for some weird reason, there was this anger online towards Saraya for taking a shot at Vince McMahon. Wow, people are defending Vince. Ah! It was no big deal. She doesn't mean it personally. This is a character. She wants to make everyone believe like AEW's giving her an opportunity that WWE was not, wasn't a big deal. But unfortunately, there was this real weird anger Wednesday night leading into Thursday. And she addressed some of those trolls on the IWC. She tweeted the following and then deleted it. She said, quote, I say how my current boss listens to me, and all of a sudden it's, so you hate WWE. No, I don't. I loved my time there. I appreciate the time and opportunities I was given, especially in my NXT days with Triple H. I'm happy now in AEW, though. Tribalism in the IWC is so bizarre to me. That's what she said. She deleted it shortly thereafter. I don't know why she deleted it. Maybe because AEW doesn't want their wrestlers to reference Triple H or you know, that. Maybe that's what it is. Giving any type of props to Triple H right now, especially with the vibe that is going on with the, you know, the new energy in WWE, that's probably something that Tony Khan doesn't want to add to. You know, believe me, when Bobby Fish said, hey, I'll go to war for Triple H at the end of the day, I don't think AEW wants to hear that. You know, imagine you're in a relationship with someone and that person keeps putting over their ex. You know, you want to hear that? You want to keep hearing that? Yeah, you know, I had a bad breakup, but you know what? You know, he went down like no other. You know, that's kind of extreme. But, yeah, she tweeted and deleted that. But let me tell you something. Her brother, Saraya's brother, has stepped up on social media addressing the hate the last couple of days. And I'm just giving an opinion. This is all AEW's fault. Because for some reason, AEW is milking if she's going to return to the ring or not. Take note, when Tony Khan appears on Busted Open, and no one in Busted Open asks the first fucking question out of their mouths, hey, is Paige returning to the ring? Paige going to wrestle? The first question out of all the commentators' mouths when Saraya was on guest commentary Wednesday, you know, are you returning to the ring? You know, of course, this has been discussed beforehand. Saraya herself has not gone online to say it. But look, her boss, in my opinion, it's her boss's job to be the one to put that out there. You know, if AEW says to her, go ahead, tell everyone that you can return, that's fine. But the fact that no one, not AEW nor Saraya, are bringing this up, big, big mistake on AEW's part. AEW is hurting Saraya so unnecessarily right now. Because if that would have been addressed, because look, AEW is not stupid. Saraya is not stupid. They know every Paige fan out there, every AEW fan out there that wants to see her feud with people, the first question they want to know is, can you return to the ring? Are you cleared? Are you healed? That is the question everyone is asking. That is the first question everyone is asking. And they now, 2 weeks later, are intentionally not answering it. And as a result, the IWC is getting fucking pissed off about it. Look at all the vague information with MJF when they took him off TV long months ago. Remember all that vague information? The difference is you had the IWC journalists playing along with it. Why report the actual story when you could be part of the story? They're not getting paid. They're not getting thank you cards from Tony Khan. But them helping the story by avoiding it, for the most part, you know, because they are big supporters and every journalist out there wants a crumb, wants a little rub, wants to be connected, and for some, wants a job with a major wrestling company. And you get bees with honey. You don't get it, you know, with water. So even though they may not work for AEW, and even though AEW never asks for the help, they're like, hey, I'm throwing it out there. Hey, I'm avoiding this. I'm not, they could notice me. Notice me, bitch. And, you know, that's what happened with MJF. That should have been the first question on every fucking interview that went on for months and months and months and months and months. Tony Khan never standing up to his company, you know, and now this silence about Saraya, it's hurting her. They are hurting her big time because the vibe online is, this feels like WWE shit. Oh, she changed the match to a lumberjack match. Look at the crowd reaction when she announced the lumberjack match on Wednesday. You know, yeah, it's a, you know, Philly crowd, which is a little bit more demanding, but crowd, I think they felt like this is something Paige and WWE would have done as a GM. That's not what we want in AEW. We don't want gimmick shit like that. And it's hurting her. I think the last 7 days for Saraya in AEW has been a disaster. You know, not a total disaster, but it's been a disaster. And a lot of it is not her fault, in my opinion. It's not her fault at all. So, all right. What else do we need to get into? Raw, this Monday, we have Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles versus the Judgment Day. We have Braun Strowman versus Chad Gable and more build to Extreme Rules next Friday. Now, remember, season premiere, SmackDown, next Friday. Next Friday, expect some big numbers in the ratings. We're going to have that face-to-face with Roman Reigns and Logan Paul. And we're also going to have Gunther versus Sheamus for the Intercontinental title, excuse me. By the way, you notice now how everybody is trying to report it as news that Gunther is being spelled in all capital letters. I think we've been doing that since they brought him to the main roster. I don't think that was anything surprising, but suddenly that's like a big news story out there. I'm a little disappointed, though, because Saudi Arabia is not until the first week in November. November 5th, I believe it is. So we're only October 1st. We are still almost 5 weeks away, which means that Roman Reigns is not going to be feuding with anybody over those next 5 weeks. Yeah, he'll have some interaction with Logan Paul. I expect Logan Paul to maybe face a Sami Zayn. You know, Sami Zayn, even though everybody is loving Sami Zayn right now, including yours truly, Sami Zayn is the guy in the bloodline that will eat the losses. When they need somebody to be bitched out in the bloodline, intimidated, you know, embarrassed, Sami Zayn is now the guy. They're not going to do it to Solo Sikoa. They're certainly not going to do it with the Usos. And even the Usos right now, let's be honest, the Usos don't have any great feud going on. So, you know, I know a lot of us are a little frustrated that the titles have this big of a stranglehold across the Usos and Roman Reigns. And yeah, when we go back in history and see it, you know, it's going to be a big deal to see how much time that they held these belts. But I'm telling you all, seriously, whoever beats the Usos for those tag titles, within a week, people are going to put on the shelf, the fact that the Usos had it for this long, it's not as big of a deal as people think. I mean, the Usos, to me, I've always felt the Usos are that much better than the New Day. And the only reason why I've said that is because you got two Usos and three members of New Day, you know. But I also feel that, you know, the Usos, their reign right now does not feel historic. Even if it becomes longest reign, it doesn't feel historic. It feels impressive, but it doesn't feel historic. Roman Reigns' reign feels historic, and that's done by design. I think Seth Rollins, just, you know, finishing up what we were saying before, I think Seth Rollins has a legit shot at winning the belt at WrestleMania. You know, we did the mailbag yesterday. Someone brought up the idea, could Roman Reigns main event both nights at WrestleMania? Now, that would be an awful lot to ask to have two 20-minute matches, pay-per-view WrestleMania quality, you know, but as I've pointed out, we've had Roman Reigns and others wrestle on a pay-per-view, which is a Sunday, and then wrestle on Raw the following day. We've had people compete at WrestleMania and then wrestle the night after, the Raw after WrestleMania. So it's not out of the question. But who knows? Maybe Roman Reigns ends up wrestling both nights, each night defending a championship. And that could very well end up being where somebody gets that opportunity. I just don't know how I feel about keeping those titles together all the way to WrestleMania. I mean, Survivor Series, War Games is going to distract that. Extreme Rules distracts it. You know, Extreme Rules is going to be in Philly. So having these Extreme Rules and gimmick matches is perfect for Philly. But you look at Extreme Rules, it feels like a big deal. Saudi Arabia feels like a big deal. Survivor Series absolutely feels like a big deal. Then you got day one, and a lot of people, you know, are now starting to catch on to what I said before, that Sasha Banks and Naomi could very well return either by day one or the Royal Rumble. Day one, I think, could be a possibility, even though Saudi Arabia wants Sasha Banks. I don't think they're going to get Sasha Banks, but, you know, we throw it out there. Then you got the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes returns. Then you got the road to WrestleMania. So if there was ever a time in recent memory for WWE that they could ride a six-month wave with all of these big distractions, Saudi Arabia, War Games, Royal Rumble, this, you know, this is probably the best time that they have had. Imagine even 2-3 years ago. You know, imagine those early years of Brock Lesnar when he returned and he had the championship and would disappear for 2 months at a time. Imagine if he had the stranglehold with both belts at that time. You know, people would be losing their shit, including me. So we'll see what happens, everybody. We will see what happens. Anyway, I think we are done with today's show. I know we are at about 70 minutes, but I'm looking at all of the results and all of my synopsis today, and I think we covered it all. You know what we'll do for the next 10 minutes? Anybody that's in the chat, if you have any quick questions pertaining to today's show that you would like for me to answer, just write the word question before your question. We'll spend like 5-10 minutes doing that, and then we'll get out of here. So, and don't forget, tomorrow night, at 8:05 p.m., the sit-down with yours truly returns. Tomorrow's going to be a fun show because I know there's going to be a shitload of Bray Wyatt stuff. So will Nick Aldis go to WWE? Anything is possible. I think under Triple H with creative, I think Nick Aldis has a better shot than before. Because of, you know, the emphasis on the pro wrestling side of things, which is more, but there's got to be a creative side as well. You know, I always felt that Nick Aldis, it gave me Nick Bockwinkel vibes. You know what I mean? Like classy, championship impressive. You know, like, I always got that vibe with Nick Aldis. So, yeah, I could see him going. If he signed with WWE, I would rather see him go directly to the main roster, not NXT. Hell no. Soulfly is asking me, do I think Saraya looks healthy enough to wrestle? Absolutely. Yeah, she lost some muscle definition, no question. But, you know, she don't look sick. She don't look fragile. And like I said before, if she returns to the ring, I think it's going to be a very, very slow. Look at, I don't have the banner in front of me. Maybe I do. Maybe I could pull it up really quick. The banner, No, I don't. Look at the banner for Wednesday's Dynamite. And what you notice now is when you see graphics with like Toni Storm and Athena, so they have Saraya in the background with them. You know, like, wait, is she a manager? Like, why is she featured in the background? Like, she's not a manager. She's not tagging with them. But I found that very interesting, and no one else talked about that. I think she returns to the ring and they ease her in slow. I think her first match will probably be a tag or a six-woman tag or trios match. I think that could very well be possible. But no, she doesn't look fragile or ill. You know, she's a little smaller. It's not a big deal. There's a lot of women that are much smaller than her. What's for lunch? Honestly, soup. You could hear it in my nose. I got a test negative by now. This is, what, 11 days dealing with this crap? 11 or 12 days? So I'm going to go pick up some COVID tests, some rapid tests after I do the show. And hopefully I'll be able to show you all tomorrow that I am testing negative. So, Ray Rosario, what's up, brother? Do I think Triple H is rebuilding the tag division? Do I think it was a good idea to have Braun squash tag teams? Yeah. Alpha Academy is not getting hurt because a monster amongst monsters, you know, squashed him. And I wouldn't even call it a squash job. We went out of our way to say, man, Otis versus Braun was a hell of a lot more competitive than I thought it was going to be. Otis, at any time, if Braun Strowman was in WWE for quite some time right now and not had just returned, I think Otis had a great chance of winning that match last week. They put on a great match. Chad Gable is a lot smaller, so, you know, his gimmick, shoosh, you know, people want to see him get his ass kicked. So, no, it's not a mistake. And Triple H is trying to rebuild the tag division a little bit. What I noticed that he's doing is he's trying to keep everybody at equal strength that's not named Uso. If you look even like the New Day, they helped the Viking Raiders get a little bit on their level. Hit Row, you know, getting on the level of Los Lotharios. I know what some people are going to say, oh, they're jobbers. They're pretty fucking talented. You know, Maximum Male Models out of all the teams concerns me more than anything. But I think they will start rebounding a little bit and getting some momentum. I think Maxxine Dupri will start being their strict manager, and I think you will see some victories under their belt. But, yeah, the tag team division, it's going to be a slow burn. It's not going to be repaired overnight unless you do a lot of makeshift teams. We thought we were getting AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler on a regular basis. A lot of people don't mind if Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens remain a tag team. Some people would love to see them get the tag titles. But, you know, a lot of people also feel that it's going to ultimately be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn getting those tag titles. So, Ray, thank you very much for the kind words, my friend. I want to give a special shout out to Big Sal, who sent a 20 spot earlier. He just wanted to say that he appreciates me and can't wait for the next deep dive that I was going to do today with Bray Wyatt. I hope you enjoyed it. Believe me, staying up till 5:30 in the morning, putting this all together is not the most fun, but, you know, I couldn't sleep anyway. So I was like, let's just go full blown. Let's get everything out there. And it's fun, man. It's fun to be able to do this scavenger hunt. I like scavenger hunts, you know, as long as you don't have to work too hard at doing it. But I just hope everybody appreciates the work that's put in. Not only just presenting it to you, but, you know, what WWE is doing and what Bray Wyatt is doing. You know, I'm one thing that is really, really good, and this you can say about WWE, you can't really say it about AEW yet. You see people debut in AEW, and it seems like their biggest moments for a lot of them is the night they debut. You look at some of the people who have debuted that are bigger names in AEW, you look at, like, what's their most memorable moment since being in AEW, and for a lot of people, it's the night they debuted. Then everything else just feels like it fizzles out. Under the Triple H regime, there is this new confidence that, you know, when somebody it does come in, that their chances of not just getting lost in the shuffle right away have been enhanced. Monday, I'm going to talk about an interview that Drew McIntyre did. Drew McIntyre talks about not only the new energy, but the fact that, you know, there's only so many opportunities that could be given at one time. So when you do see someone getting opportunity, remember what I've always said, that means someone else is not getting opportunity. Not everybody's going to get that chance. A lot of people are a little frustrated right now with Lacey Evans. I heard Cornette's podcast the other day saying, like, who did she piss off? You know, I don't think she pissed off anybody. I think it's just a case that, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of others getting opportunity right now, and somebody has to bite the bullet, and she is one of them. So thank you, Sal, for that. That was very, very kind of you. Twix, I answered your question before. I used a different name. I don't know if you realize that they are the same person. Xander Elion, are the days of salacious shoot interviews over and done with? No. I think shoot interviews will always continue. I think some people whose names are not big in the wrestling world anymore, they will always put something out or be part of something just to get buzz around their name. You know, there's an old phrase. We talked about it with Ric Flair probably more than anybody else. Unfortunately, for a lot of people in pro wrestling, they want to say hello to all of you when it's time to say goodbye. You know, when they're at the top of their game, when they're breaking in, when they're this, you know, they could care less about you. But when their peak is over and done with, and the writing on the wall is that, hey, you know, I'm not getting opportunity, I'm not getting acknowledged, I'm not getting recognized, holy shit, could this be goodbye? That's when they want to say hello, if you know what I mean. So, nah, there'll always be salacious shoot interviews. I think the direction more is going to be about the climate, the tribalism, reporters out there. I made a little remark yesterday on social media. I know some of you picked up on it, but I wrote a tweet. Then the tweet said that, you know, we reached out to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega for comment about the rumors circulating. And as of this writing, has received no reply, says no one. That remark was put out there because we haven't talked about it yet. I'm going to talk about it on Wednesday. But there's these reports out there about an outside investigation going on. Yeah, the same people that investigated, you know, all the trolls and the bots and all. But the worst part about it is, there are a whole bunch of people out there reporting that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are out in the cold and they don't know what's going on and they don't know what's good when they're going to return. And not one place out there has ever reached out to them for comment. So they're just posting same bullshit rumors, and there's not one journalist out there that said, we reached out to the Young Bucks for comment and received no reply. We reached out to Saraya to find out if she's returning to the ring, received no reply. We reached out to Tony Khan about blah, 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 and received no reply. Take note, no journalist out there is doing that. None. When was the last time you seen anybody do that? So you're going to see more and more people calling out these, you know, people who, you know, fancy themselves as journalists. It's a big problem. And a lot of wrestlers are not taking it anymore. I'm telling you, as time goes by, more and more people are going to defend CM Punk for doing what he did. Mostly people in the business. But as time goes by, you're going to realize, you know what? CM Punk was ahead of the pulse with this. All right. Going to jet out of here. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I think we succeeded in what we needed to do with the Bray Wyatt stuff, with the Seth Rollins stuff. Definitely, again, go out of your way to check out that interview that Ariel Helwani did with Seth Rollins. It is a must-see. It is that good. And I'll tell you, you know, I think more people will be left respecting Seth Rollins more than anything else. I think the people that got angry at Seth Rollins for bringing up, because, look, the comment about the leukemia, he pretty much said, like, look, you know, even when he had leukemia, I didn't feel like WWE thought I was the guy. I think when people read it in sound bites, they get angry at that. You know, even what he said about the Cody Rhodes, you know, pushing him was demoralizing. It's not against Cody Rhodes. It's the fact, like, look at what I've done. Look at what I'm doing now. And now you want me to not only put this guy over, but have him leapfrog over me. That's kind of dejecting. I mean, especially when you're putting 200%. Look, even if you're still not a fan of Seth Rollins, there is no denying that guy puts 200% effort in everything that he does. Even if it's to piss you off and to get under your skin, he puts out 200%. Kevin Owens has always done that. And others, and if you notice, a lot of people do not complain. People just do their job. You know, of course, Seth now has the platform to voice out about it, but he does his job, and you never feel that he's winging it, because he's just not feeling it right now. That's why I thought the comments that were said earlier this week that AJ Styles is just going through the motions to earn a paycheck, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think AJ Styles is professional enough to understand that, look, it's not his time right now to be the center point. So he does his job, and he's been around enough to know that, you know, opportunity will come up again. And he, you know, just because, you know, you're not getting that opportunity doesn't mean you're always disgruntled. So, all right. I'll leave you all with one last question, because this is a good one. Byron Cutler, do I think Bray Wyatt is going to be a face or a heel? He's going to be neither. But in the fans' eyes, he's going to be a baby face. He is going to go after various people. It's not a Karrion Kross vendetta against made guys and things handed to them. Bray Wyatt is going to be neither, but the fans will be behind him. So you will have record numbers of Fireflies floating around. So it's not going to be your quintessential baby face or quintessential heel. He is going to just be himself. And as I said yesterday, I think when he returns, he could have some type of a mask, but I don't believe he's going to be wrestling with a mask on. I think his attire is going to be darker colors, maybe a little leather. I don't see, you know, the Hawaiian shirts anymore. I don't see anything like that. And I also don't see Monster either. I think we're going to see, you know, maybe a little face paint, maybe a little bit of makeup. But I think Bray Wyatt is just going to dress in darker colors. And then we'll go from there. But I'm looking forward to it. It's not even a tweener. It's just he is going to be, you know, a person trying to right the wrongs. And fans will get behind that. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed today's show, take a moment, hit that thumbs up. It helps more than you know. If you are around Sunday night at 8.05 p.m., join me here for the sit-down. If you're still not aware of what the format is, I show up with a blank piece of paper, and every one of you who are live get the opportunity to basically build the show. All the topics discussed is based on what you want, and I'm sure is going to be some wild conversation tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm going to jet out of here, get the show online. If you know anyone else out there that's not familiar with the channel that may like it, let them know about it. If you're not a subscriber, consider subscribing. If you're not a Patreon member, perfect time, beginning in a month, patreon.com/DonTony. And next weekend, Extreme Rules, I will be doing a recap. So looking forward to that as well. Thank you, as always, for your support. Very much appreciated. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you all Sunday night, 8.05 p.m. Have a good day, everyone. Have a nice rest of the weekend. Stay safe. And once again, to all my friends who have been affected in any way, shape, or form with Hurricane Ian, my thoughts are with you. Hopefully, I was able to get your mind off of all this disaster and turmoil that has gone on. Absolutely awful. And, you know, just be strong, stay safe, and understand anything destroyed can be replaced. You know, may not happen overnight, but it can be replaced. So you all stay safe, and I'll see you all again soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.